Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey, Mike, pop quiz. What is the standard go-to method for emergency decon?
That's pretty easy. Wet decon, right?
Well, you know, you're not the only one that may be thinking that, but it's actually dry decon.
No. How many times have I heard dilution is the solution to pollution?
Actually, too many. And that's the issue. Makes sense if you think about it. Without the use of water, we don't need to spend extra time setting up traditional showers or pools, and there's no wastewater afterwards. And you're not going to freeze anybody to death if it's below 60 degrees.
Check out firstlinetech.com/drydecon. FirstLine Technology has a whole webpage dedicated to the methodology and links to plenty of dry decon resources. See for yourself why dry decon with FiberTech should be your go-to immediate decon solution.
You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Hazmat Guys, episode 339. Let's get into it.
Yeah, another one in the books. Here we go. I kind of like this one because it's a little bit of a brain teaser, I think.
I like brain teasers.
Yes. Yeah. but actually, both of these email, well, one was a phone call, one was an email, but they both are play on what would you do type scenarios, which I love.
Yeah. The one that I'll read off, which may not even be this episode. We may get to it next episode.
Who knows?
Definitely one of those. Not only is it a how would you respond, but like how far would you go? And there's reasons for that, and there's emotional and psychological reasons behind that kind of questioning. So, but we will get to that when we get to that. How was the Midwest conference, virtual last week?
I think, well, it's still going because they're running that thing for like a month.
Right.
Like it's playing for a month. So if you haven't gone over to emorysafety.com, you can see our famous Punims on that whole operation over there, along with a whole bunch of other people. And get your face full of that one. And tomorrow, from the date of recording, I am going to Cold Zone. I just talked to Chuck and the gang, and we are going to be over there having some good times as well. So let's see. What else you got? Baltimore is June 8th. We'll be there. Virginia, again, I keep saying I don't know about Virginia because I don't really know about Virginia, but it's on my list. That's September 13th, and you got Massachusetts September 20th, which we are very excited to go to. So if you want to mention your conference, even if we're not speaking, contact Kosh at the Hazmat Guys for more info, and this would get you here on the shows and the newsletter and a few other good places for good measure. And also, I know this is like nerd level stuff, but I've been really enjoying myself doing all these freaking these nuggets. So
the nuggets are really good.
It's like 4 or 5 minutes and I can do whatever the hell I want. We do great things on it. It's freaking amazing.
I like the nuggets. I've been posting your nuggets into all of the newsletters and things like that because they're good little tidbits.
Yeah. And right now, I just finished doing I don't know what the hell got a bug up my butt, but I started doing atoms. And so I just did – today it came out atomic radiuses and how that all works.
Okay.
And then I'm breaking down each shell of the SD – P, S, P, D, and F shells and orbitals and how they all work. And then we're going to get into bonding and we're going to go deep, but they're only like 4 or 5, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, I think the longest one I ever did was like 11 minutes.
That's great.
I think that was on Octane, how Octane works. It was pretty cool. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
So get into the nuggets, guys. They're there.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. All right. So do you want me to read my article?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So I get a phone call from a good friend of our show. And him and his lovely bride are leaving for a trip to go to a Caribbean resort. And if you're listening to this, we're recording this on May 9th of 2022. It will drop soon thereafter. But there was a recent call, an article that came out that I saw come across my feed and didn't think much of it. And I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. And I think I posted it in one or two of the groups that me and Mike are in. And that was the end of it. And then this guy calls and says that him and his wife are going to this place and they're packing up to leave in like 10 hours. And she was a little concerned because of the article. So let me read the article and then we can talk out what I told them. I had to talk her off the ledge of why this is not very likely of being a problem. So here it is. And this is.
So that probably means they're there now. So yes. If we change our mind now,
I'll delete this episode.
And she listens to it while she's there. That would be phenomenal.
Yes. Okay. Well, if they actually get killed, then I will have to delete this episode very quickly.
Yes.
You know, and if anybody has this episode, please delete it for me anyway. But what you'll see in this article and any place you look this article up, and I'll put a link to it, is that every single article is almost verbatim the same thing because it came from, I think, the government of the Bahamas.
Okay.
And so, like, this came from, like, their news feed and all of the American and global, even like BBC, and they all are copying it verbatim. So like this is exactly the words on every single article. You're not going to get different info from different places. It says an investigation is underway for three American tourists that were found dead in a Bahamas resort on Friday, officials said. The guests were staying at the Sandals, Emerald Bay, and Exuma Sandals, confirmed. Resort staff contacted the Georgetown police station shortly after 9 a.m. Friday that a man was found unresponsive in a villa. And while en route, it was reported that another man and a woman were found unresponsive in another villa. Okay. Police found the man in the first villa lying on the ground with no signs of trauma, authorities said. In the second villa, the man was found slumped, I'm quoting this, slumped against the wall in the bathroom, and the woman was found on the bed. Both individuals showed signs of convulsion, which.
Okay.
Okay. This is just my own personal thing. What is a sign of a convulsion? Is that like a little foaming around the mouth? Is this like the movies?
Or maybe they bruised their extremities?
Maybe abrasion or something like that. I don't know. So no signs of trauma were found on either of the second body. So all three, no signs of trauma. Bahamas Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Darville, said to ABC News that some hotel guests went to a clinic Thursday morning with nausea and vomiting and were treated and left. Three were later found dead, while a fourth, a woman, was flown to a hospital in New Providence and is in stable condition. Police said Friday that they were working to confirm the identities of the deceased. The U.S. Department of State on Sunday confirmed the deaths of the three Americans in the Bahamas. We are closely monitoring, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares about this. One of the victims was, it doesn't matter what the names are. But I will say that there were, who was in the mid-60s, who was in her mid-60s, and doesn't tell you anything more about it. She woke up with my dad was lying on the floor. She couldn't move. Her legs and arms were swollen and she couldn't move. And she screamed to get somebody to come to the door. She told her son that she'd fallen ill on Thursday night, but thought she was all right. And after she was released from the clinic, I'm just so heartbroken now. So now that's basically the whole thing. So it doesn't say clearly here whether the same four people were the people at the clinic.
Right. Right.
Right. While you're talking, I'm going to read this through again. But here's the point is that it seems that two separate villas, they don't tell you where in vicinity they are, were affected by something that happened rather quickly.
What was the name of the place? It was Sandals.
Just look up Three Dead Bahamas and it'll pop right up. Sandals Emerald Bay is the place. And so I basically ruled out biological. And I'll tell you, you are great listeners, why I feel that pretty strongly about that is that biologicals usually take a little bit of time to catch up. It's not the movies where biologicals replicate in ridiculous fashion to overcome somebody. Biologicals typically take some time. So let's say it was like the air conditioner with like Legionnaires or anything like that. It would have taken some time and you wouldn't have seen those symptoms. And again, we don't know how long they were there, because if they lived there for a month, maybe this is a possibility.
Yeah, but for all of them to biologically die from all of them to have died from a biological incident all at the same time.
That's slim.
I guess if everybody else was getting sick, but then everyone else would have to have been there for the same amount of time, and people aren't there I would agree.
Yeah. Food poisoning, which you can argue is biological, chemical, depending on what you want to look at that from. Food poisoning, yeah, okay. People get treated for nausea and upset stomach. What was the other symptom I think they had?
But feeling paralyzed in the arms and legs?
Yeah. That sounds like a toxin.
Convulsions, yeah.
Right. So that kind of led me, if you're going down that whole Trace-em model, right? Again, I'm thinking about this, you know, as if I'm pulling up to this thing. You got the thermal asphyxiants. I can rule those out because they weren't burned. And I don't think it's an asphyxiant type thing because doesn't track.
It would depend. My answer. So the only thing that would hesitate me with the asphyxiants and knocking them off, and that's why I wanted to know where it was, because I just kind of pulled up a map, but nobody says where the villas are. Generally, villas in these places are standalone buildings, right? When you have a villa,
yeah. Usually at this place, you're going to have some nice oceanfront villas. Right. And I can see if I can get a map of this.
And maybe. I did. I pulled up a map. So I was looking at the map and none of the villas are located anywhere near the main part of the building, or they don't seem to be located near the pool area. Now, the reason why that popped into my head is because that's where all the drinks are going to be located. And with the drinks comes the possibility for the CO2 asphyxiation if something were to happen. But even the closest villa to these areas they're not connected to the building in any way, shape, or form. So to have multiple people dead from a CO2 release.
CO2, yeah.
I don't think it would be possible. Listen, anything is possible, but it would be highly unlikely versus if it was one of these rooms in the main building, and then you could say, okay, well maybe the carbon stations are adjacent to that room, you know, then you could kind of be like, all right, well, maybe that's a possibility. If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more hazmat goodness.
that leaves me with a couple of different scenarios that I could play out in my head. And one of them would be, and this is kind of where I'm resting my bet, with this limited information, me not being able to get there, me not being able to interview people, and as silly as it sounds, I actually called the hospital.
Okay.
I picked up the phone and I called and I talked to the doctor that's listed in the freaking article. And I called him. I said, "Hey, listen, I'm Bobby. I'm nobody from, you know, blah, 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 fire department. We're doing a little training here. Can you?" He's like, "Nope." And he hung up on me.
Nothing.
I was like, "Crap." I said, "I promise I'm not a reporter." So no more information could be gotten. But here's where I'm thinking. I think it's some type of chemical.
I would agree.
Now, one of the things that let's say it's a WMD, which is not where I'm going, but the signs, but related, right? So like you have some type of incapacitant, right? That, that acted acutely, short duration. It acted, I'm guessing, in the same vicinity. I'm hoping they're in the same vicinity, because if they were on two separate sides of the island, this whole theory is blown up.
Maybe, maybe not, but go ahead.
Oh, wait. Maybe if they went to like the same restaurant.
Well, so I got a couple of things. So you go ahead and go down. I'm writing down my thought right now. You go down yours, and then I'm going to go down mine.
I'm going to my final answer is I think it's drugs.
Oh, okay.
I think they picked up some bad hooch somewhere, and maybe they partied together, or maybe they knew each other, or maybe they didn't know each other, or maybe they got it from the same dealer that gave it to two separate families on the same night. I'm not saying, and again, I don't know these people and I could be completely wrong, but that tracks with this scenario. Whereas, you know, even if, let's say you're in a building where the air conditioning is shared, right? And I have a pound of carfentanil, right? And I take it and I throw it right into the air, right? And it goes into the return of the air conditioner and it is pumped into your room, who is down the block, right? And you just happen to be in your room. Everybody else is out enjoying themselves, but you're in your room and you get a smaller dose. That would explain the fourth person that lived. This is all conjecture, but I'm trying to parse this thing out for my friend here and trying to tell him and his wife that everything's going to be okay. And I think it's a relatively isolated thing.
Well, it may and it may not be. And not to scare the dickens out of this woman.
All right, cut that.
So have you ever been to any of these resort type Caribbean islands? Okay.
I have.
So
I own two.
You own two. So all right. So follow with me on this.
Okay.
What are you, when dinner time comes, and this is something that always bothered me about these Caribbean island resorts, because I don't like having to necessarily do this for dinner. What do you have to do for dinner that you don't have to do with any of the other two meals?
Get dressed up.
You have to get dressed up. Okay. Yeah. And the pool and the amenities, they close at like 5 o'clock. And then dinner starts at 6. So in that time frame, everybody gets up and they go back to their villas and they start getting dressed for the night, right? Because these places, you're supposed to wear a collared shirt and a button-down shirt, and you're kind of in beach attire all day, and then you get dressed up at night. Well, have you ever noticed what they do? I've been to maybe like 4 or 5 of these places.
Okay.
In that time frame, what are they doing to the location? And
they're cleaning it and getting ready for tomorrow.
No, they're spraying for mosquitoes.
Oh.
When everybody goes to dinner, when everybody goes to get dressed, like as soon as like the pools close, within 15 minutes of like everybody dispersing back to their rooms, they have a natural time frame to spray for pests. And they do it. At least the places that I've been to, they literally have these giant like golf carts, and they literally are just going around spraying massive amounts of pesticide, and you can almost taste it in the air.
Yes.
I only know because I'm not, you know, like I would be not getting dressed for dinner, right? Because I didn't want to get dressed for dinner. So I was out at the pool as long as I could. I was at the beach as long as I could. Like, and there every night around that time, there's a noticeable pesticide in the air without a shadow of a doubt. And I've been to like four of these different, you know, a couple different sandals and a couple of ones, even in Mexico, they're spraying for mosquitoes. Like they're like plumes of mosquito spray. So I'm wondering, and this is why I said it could even have occurred in different spots. What if that just happened to be a bad mix of pesticide, like where the concentration of the pesticide was higher than you normally would see? It would definitely, if somebody was out and about when they were being sprayed, it could make them sick enough that a bunch of people go to a clinic that day. And for somebody that has underlying issues or may have gotten a heavier dose than somebody else, a couple hours later could have definitely turned around and died in their villa. It would explain the possibility of convulsions, right? It would explain the possibility, you know, if you're frothing a little at the mouth. And it might also explain the paralytic effects of the woman that did wake up feeling like she was unable to move, feeling like there was some kind of a central nervous system depressant in her body.
You know, that's I subscribe to that. That is a good one, too. I like that. And you know what? Another thing that's I mentioned to our friend that I noticed in here is that it doesn't say, and without any real investigation, we don't know the health of those people prior.
Right.
What if they were sickly people in the first place? What if they were 140 years old?
Right.
And they had it coming.
Or it was Omicron.
Or it could have been Omicron. Yeah, they could have had COVID. Like we don't need, like there's so many holes in this thing. And it's very difficult to do one of these helicopter evaluations. But I thought it was an interesting conversation to be had where when you're regarded as one of those hazmat guys, you're one of those nerds, friends call you up all the time like, oh,
weirdest question,
Mike knows. Yeah, yeah. Mike would know. Mike, what, how do they make a nuclear reactor? And they sit there and like you're expected to know
right
step by step how to do this thing because right. You went to a class.
Yeah, the best answer for a lot of those is, man, that's you're I can't share that information with you. You're not at that level of clearance.
That's sensitive stuff here. We can't talk.
But no, I mean, like, and, you know, this almost refers back to, I would almost treat this like a sick building. If we were, you know, like from a hazmat point of view, if like, you know, the hazmat team were to arrive at the Sandals Resort, what kind of things would we be looking for? How would we know that it was rendered safe? And if you're walking along my point of view, you're going after the WMD meters because we know that many of the pesticides, you know, they basically are watered down weapons of mass destructions, organophosphate, you know, poisons, sulfurs, things along those lines. That would be, you know, more in line with my thought, taking samples, you know, let's go around their lips. Let's go around their nose. Let's see if there's any kind of, you know, molecular signature somewhere around there. This is where I would definitely start doing samples, break out the GCMS, see what we can do. Your AP4C, start looking into, the actual pesticides. Like, hey, you guys have concentrated pesticides and are they supposed to be mixed? Is it
right?
Or do you just take the drum, stick the stick in there and drive around and spray? Like what are the different possibilities here? And then interviewing anybody else, like, you know, who were they with? Mm. Who were those people with? Where did they go? You know, the people that were sick, is there a time frame in which they all intersect at the same point? Did they eat at the same place? Like all this starts to become just a giant sick building, and your interviews, you know, become a critical part.
That's interesting because that I did not take into account operator error. You know, like where it was just mixed wrong. It right. was something not because I started tracking in on the whole. And the funny thing is, we're coming to the same conclusion that it was something chemical. Like,
yes.
That tracks right. the biological, the radiological, all the other hazards, it doesn't, I'm not buying that with the limited information that we got. So interesting thing, guys, if you see these types of articles that are out there, take them and analyze them in this manner with your firehouse, station, club, group, whatever it might be. Or, you know, like on our specialist group, throw it in there. Hey, guys, what do you think? And we start a discussion and
it becomes
see what shakes out.
A giant hazmat huddle where, you know, everybody throws in different ideas and thoughts, and there's only so many limited choices. Somebody's going to nail it right on the head, or right, at least shine a light in a direction that nobody else was thinking. And you're like, oh, yeah, I should. I'll take a look at that.
The funny thing is, all this talking that we just did, we can be completely wrong.
100%. And that's the beauty of it. We don't have, they could have been assassinated.
We're like, we're like weathermen. We don't have to be right.
We don't have to be right. No one's going to prove us wrong. You're just going to flip over to the next episode and listen to whatever else we have to say.
Speaking of that, we'll see you next time.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.